Now 13 past 6, local government New Zealand is welcoming a new report on the use of special economic zones. The report by the New Zealand Initiative recommends special economic zones which would allow for a more regional take on policy making, encouraging regional economic development. Dr. Oliver Hartwich is the Executive Director at the New Zealand Initiative. And Oliver, good evening to you.
Good evening, Larry.
Oliver, what benefits could a regionalised policy bring?
Well, this policy would enable us to test new policies in parts of the country. We could then see what works, what doesn't work. If it works, of course, we could spread it to the whole country. But it would just make policy making a lot more flexible.
At the moment, have we got a one-size-fits-all?
Yes, we do. And actually, often the one-size-fits-all policy means that it's actually a one-size-fits-none. Because currently we can't really experiment with different policies. We can't actually do justice to the regions. And we just have to think about the country as an extremely diverse place, of course. We have services centres like Auckland. We have a centre of government in Wellington. We have tourist destinations, Queenstown or Taupo. This country is an extremely diverse country in itself. And if you're trying to have the same policy for the whole country, all designed in Wellington, in the Beehive, in Parliament, then you're bound to fail. We actually think it is time to give some decision-making back to the communities and let them... Well, first of all, we need central government to agree to this and basically make it possible for individual councils across the country to deviate from national policies. And just to give you one example, say, for example, the city of Wellington decides that they would actually like to see more foreign investment in their city. And Wellington would actually turn to central government and say, well, actually, can we please deviate from the Overseas Investment Act? And in Wellington, of course, you wouldn't run into any of these issues around farmland, for example, because there's hardly any farmland around Wellington. Then we could try it out in Wellington, see whether this works, whether it manages to increase the general intake of foreign direct investment. If it works, wonderful. Other places might actually want to copy that. If it doesn't work for Wellington, of course, the damage is limited.
So we would need to change the Overseas Investment Act to make it more, what, liberal?
Yes, absolutely, and that would be a change that would initially only apply to Wellington, so Wellington could just experiment with that with a different regulatory setup. We could do similar things for the Immigration Act. We could do similar things for the Resource Management Act. We could just allow individual councils around the country to experiment with different policies, liberalizations of these acts, and see what effects they have.
Is it currently then too difficult for or to attract direct foreign investment?
It is quite difficult. We have actually demonstrated in a series of publications at the New Zealand Initiative, we are not an easy place to navigate for international investors. We're making it very hard. It's a very cumbersome, very bureaucratic process. And, I mean, for some of the regions, we can understand where the resistance is coming from, especially when it is farmland-related. But as I said, for example, for a place like Wellington, farmland is not an issue, so we could actually make this process a lot easier.
So if we had a special area, for example, would you eliminate the general screening of investors?
Well, that would be something that the council could then decide how far they want to lead the liberalisation. They could get rid of screening rules, for example. They could probably also do with a different categorization of land. They could probably think about whether it is really making much sense to classify land as sensitive in the case of Wellington. These are things that councils could then experiment with, and we would see the results of that, and we would then, of course, also reward councils for increasing economic activity, for increasing economic growth by letting them participate in the extra tax take generated.
All right. Now, you talk about special economic zones. Say it's Wellington. How would this work?
Well, special economic zones, first of all, they are not a new concept. There are currently about 130 countries around the world that are experimenting with special economic zones. So worldwide, we're talking about 3,500 zones. It's just something that hasn't really started and taken off in New Zealand just yet. So what would happen under this scheme that we are proposing is that we are really allowing councils to say, well, we would like to try something different from the normal regulatory setup with the idea and the intention of increasing economic activity, of actually boosting our economic performance and our region's economic growth profile. If it works, we would have basically the carrots and sticks in place. So a council that manages to increase economic activity would, of course, increase GST, would increase income tax and corporate taxes, and they would be able to capture some of the uplift. And in this way, we could then encourage better performance for local government.
But the economic zones that you pointed to around the world, is there evidence that they work? That's number one. And two, how do they work? Is it because of a lower tax regime?
There is good evidence that they work, and you can have a look at international examples of economic zones, for example, in China, Shenzhen, but also in Honduras, even in the United Kingdom, they're experimenting with policies like that. You have to be a little bit careful. Not every special economic zone is the same. Some countries see them as a way of picking winners, where they basically prescribe that city X should actually have an industry in a car industry or whatever it might be, and they're giving tax breaks for that. That's not what we have in mind. What we have in mind is actually just an experimentation with regulatory policy rather than picking winners. This is not industrial policy, old-fashioned style. We actually want to try something different here.
Right, but in saying you want something different and regulatory policy, that would be a loosening of regulatory policy, would it?
Probably in some cases it would be, but again, it wouldn't be forced upon anyone. It would be for individual councils to make decisions for their regions, where are their needs, what would they like to do. For example, we know that we are a very complicated jurisdiction to navigate for mining, for minerals exploration. If, for example, the West Coast decided that they would like to learn from international experience, where they have more streamlined systems for approval, say, for example, the South Australian model, they could go for that. They could actually try this out in the New Zealand context, and if it works, and if it streamlines the process of consenting, then they would reap the benefits of it.
Thank you. That is Dr. Oliver Hartwich, Executive Director, New Zealand Initiative.